Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are here to take your calls and who knows what else. It's going to be an hour of surprises. And one surprise is Neil's pen ran out. So while he's fetching another writing utensil, I'll let people know how to get in touch. 914-338-0164. Please press 1. If you'd like to speak with us, and of course, we invite you to join us on our social media sites, X, formerly known as Twitter, which I need to post to today, and Facebook, as well as Blog Talk Radio. And you may find our pages on our Blog Talk Radio homepage, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. What else? I don't know. Is there anything else to say, Neil? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty to say, but I mean, in regard to the introduction, yeah, Jennifer's on the line. Jennifer, who I don't know what happened on the other show we listened to. Hi, Jennifer. Jennifer, whose dog does not hate her. Hello? Jennifer? Shit. Uh-oh. We have no sound. Jennifer, can you hear us? Okay. Hi, I can hear something. Bad reception. I'm going to disconnect you, Jennifer, and call back. There may be a sound problem today. In which case, we're not going to be broadcasting, but that's difficult sound-wise. I'm going to send her a messenger. Okay, here, it's actually Connie.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, that worked. Okay, that worked. Is it Connie or Jennifer on the line right now?
It's Connie right now, yeah.
Hi, Connie. Okay, I don't know what was going on earlier, but it's good to know that we can hear people. Okay, give us your birthday, please.
I'm calling about my daughter, so I don't know if you want my birthday as
well. We want your birthday, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get both.
Okay, so September 26, 1972.
Okay. Are you at Jennifer's or are you at your house, Connie?
Today? Jennifer's.
That's what I thought. Yeah. You're just hanging out, having a girls' afternoon? Ladies' afternoon, I shouldn't call
it. Yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah. I flew in from BC last night, so.
Oh, that's right. You moved.
Yeah.
I remember Jennifer told me that. So.
Yeah, so.
So you're just visiting.
Spending a few days here, yeah.
Well, nice. How nice. Now I'd forgotten that. But BC, what, I mean, maybe you don't want to tell us what part of BC. I don't know.
No, that's fine. No, I'm in Victoria, on the island.
You're so lucky. Victoria is lovely.
I do really like it.
It's a really lovely city. It really is. And it's so,
yeah.
I mean, it's a city, but it's like a town. You know, it feels like a town. At least it did to me when I was there.
Yeah.
It was just quaint and walkable, very nice.
I love the city, but you can drive 10 minutes and be out in the mountains. So that's why you have a little bit of everything there. It's really nice. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So what is your daughter's birthday, Connie?
October 5th, 2000.
Okay. So she's 23 years old.
Yeah.
And she's an 8. So she would have had a change, you know, because when you get to the turn of the century, the karmic numbers are often lower. So people have their karmic change. I mean, she's just an 8. There's no reduction. Like, you're a 36, and you have to reduce that to a single-digit master number. So you're a 9. 3 plus 6 is 9. But your daughter is 5, 6, 7, 8. She's just an 8.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when she would have had her karmic change, and it happens to be also her master number. So there would have been a change at the age of 8, just if we could identify that before we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
What change did she have at 8?
That's the year that me and her dad separated.
So was there a move of some kind or no?
He moved out of the house. She stayed with me, like, in the marital home, but
Okay, that's why I was getting the move. But that's, I mean, the major change is the fact that you guys split up, parents split up. Isn't it funny how that works?
Yep.
Okay, so your question about her.
Yeah, that is funny.
Okay, your question about her, go ahead.
There's been a lot of change for her this year, and I'm worried about her. And she's with she's with somebody, and I just am concerned about their relationship.
Okay, so will you vouch
and other
for me?
Things that are going on well with it.
I said, will you vouch for me? Because I was going to say why I thought you were calling. I thought it was a relationship issue. I wrote it down, Neil. Yes. They can't hear you shake your head.
Yes,
I did write it down. So I thought it was about a relationship. Do you have the relationship? Do you have the birth date of the other party?
Yeah.
The party she's
so
with.
It's October 20th. Okay. Yeah, October 21st, 1994.
Okay. 2, 3, 4, 14. 14. 33. So he's compounded.
No, he isn't.
Wait, did I add something wrong? 2, 3, 4. 14. Yeah, he is. He's 21.
10/21/1994.
Yeah.
Mhm. I'm getting 27/9.
4/14/9 is 23. Yeah, you're right. My mistake. I'm still learning addition, Connie.
That's okay. Oh, you're doing way better than I. I'm listening. I don't know what she's doing, but.
No, we're just adding up their birth date numbers. So he's a 9, mm-hmm. she's an 8, which are good numbers. But they both are, you know, they're born in the month of October, which can be troublesome. Interesting that he's a 4 on his karmic side, and he has a 4 at the end of his linear code, which actually adds up to her number, 8. Mm. 10/21 + 4 is 8. I don't know. You want to take a stab at this, Neil, before?
Well,
and then 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, their days add up to her master number. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But they've got an 11 going on. There's problems.
Your daughter's an 8 and he's a 9. You're a 9 too. You're also a 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, together, their 8 and 9 adds up to 17, which is your first 3 numbers added up, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And their days together actually add up to an 8, which is your daughter's master number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, and their years add up to 15, which is your daughter's first and third number. So in other words, this is a karmic connection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we're dealing somewhat with karma, meaning we can't change that. That means that they were bound to be together. It's just not an earth plane relationship. It's a karmic relationship. So we've got that going on. Then the fact that her father left when she was 8 represents issues with men. And so you're concern with him. Don't forget, you're the same master number. You're just a 36-9. He's a 27. Your day, your months add up to 10, which is his month. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, there's trouble. So you're what's happening is you can't, there was nothing you could have done to prevent their meeting. Nothing anyone could have done. In other words, the universe is saying, these two people have to meet. Now, the problem is you seem to have some discomfort with him or what's going on. So now we go to chapter 2, which means, does the karma mean they have to be together after a certain amount of time, or can things change after the karmic requirements are over? Now, the karmic requirements, I would say, would go for about a year and a half. How long has she been with this guy?
It's been about a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're calling at the time that's evaluated to be when the required karma is over. So whether you know it or not, you're calling right at the point at which they could break up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem. The big question. Do they break up because the required karma is over, or do they stay together and renew their karmic vows and continue on? That's going to be the big question. And because mm-hmm. your daughter has already passed her major change of 8, and she's 20, what?
23. Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have two problems, in my estimation. And then Kristen can give her opinion. First of all, you're going to have a problem. It's just not going to go away. So if you're thinking it's going to change tomorrow, I don't think so. Two, in the old days, you'd be worried about pregnancy. Today, there's all kinds of protection. Except if the renewed karma now clicks in and says, oh, you guys are renewing your vows to each other? Oh, then you're going to get pregnant.
Oh.
See, so there's a possibility there. There's also a possibility that I don't know, who is the smoker in the family? Who smokes?
I smoke. They both smoke as well.
They smoke.
Yeah, you see, there's a problem. You're calling, Connie, because you're concerned in your own earthly mind, and I'm saying that karmically there's a concern.
But they haven't been together.
Don't wait. What did you say? But don't say too much. Go ahead, Connie. Repeat. You can repeat what you said.
Oh, I just said they have a baby together.
I just said, okay. I wish you hadn't said it. Just trust me, Connie. I'm too old to try to prove myself.
Yes, he is. He's too old.
I saw him holding a baby.
They have a baby together.
So I saw him. After I said they could have a baby, before you said that, probably I shouldn't have had this. But anyways, just trust me. I saw him holding a baby.
Okay.
He was smoking a cigarette. And
the baby? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he seemed to have a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a tattoo?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the problem. There's not much you can do. They're probably going to stay together, although he's got problems. Meaning, in the future, he's the kind of a guy that could cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be a second divorce in the family. At least in the immediate family. There seems to be a truck or a car or something automotive around him. I don't know if he tinkers with trucks or he has a pickup truck or he's mechanical, any of that.
He's mechanical.
He's mechanical. Okay. Is that like a career or just a hobby?
He was an electrical apprentice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit
so
different.
So here's the situation. The karmic side is has been validated psychically by the fact of the things I've mentioned before, you know, the smoking, mm-hmm. having a baby. He doesn't really have a temper as much as he gets passive aggressive, and he just quiets and does his own thing. And mm-hmm. that's going to frustrate your daughter. And I'm hearing the name Karen. Who's Karen?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, I don't know if he knows Karen. But before, I'm going to hand it over to Kristen. But what's your immediate concern?
Well, I want to. Can I talk before she addresses her immediate concern? Because I don't want. Because what I'm getting from this guy is that he's controlling of your daughter. Is that accurate, or am I way off?
Oh, I don't know if I would consider him controlling. He's very passive. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, okay, so we can, but if we analyze
But he
that,
does, he has reins on her. Yeah, he does have reins. He has to be with her all the time.
Yeah, well, that's controlling. And being passive-aggressive may not be a type of, you know, being passive-aggressive may not be like at the, I mean, when you look at a passive-aggressive person, you know, they appear passive, but their aggression is coming out in a passive way. So that control might not be totally obvious, but what do you mean when you say he has reins on her? Like, give an example.
I guess I look at it as that she is his life. He has nothing else except for her.
So there's an in-house.
He doesn't have family. He doesn't have friends. He doesn't have nothing. So I think that's what I mean. Like, that's, she is his life.
Okay, so I mean that would be accurate then. There's something I'm getting, like a Carter or a Carter last name is okay. You're not connecting with it. It's okay too. But I'm getting like a Carter
Cartwright is my manager's last name.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, that's okay. Cartwright is your manager's last name.
Yeah.
Weird. Oh, why am I going over to your manager? You worked in a casino before, correct?
No, I worked in like social services.
Oh, social services. Well, Jennifer had another friend that worked in a casino that called. So I'm just getting you two mixed up. It wasn't like psychic. So you work in social services, and your manager's name is Cartwright. So what branch of social services do you work in? Do you work with families?
CPP.
Child Protective Services.
Oh, I work with disability.
Oh, you work with disability.
People on disability.
Okay. People on disability.
Yeah.
So why am I getting her manager's last name? Right.
Well,
I mean, with the family, there's a problem in the family unit. She works for social services, but she's not exactly in, you know, an area where, you know, I would say, oh, well, the baby's, you know, in trouble or something like that. Nothing is jumping out at me. Like,
well, what it amounts to, you see, Cartwright is your manager, and you work in social services with the disabled. And so what Chris alluding to in that psychic attitude is that they may end up needing counseling because their problems may get worse than better. And your daughter, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Your daughter is going to freak out on some level. She's going to get angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they fight at all now, to your knowledge?
It's getting worse, I think. I try to stay away from it, I say, you know, because I don't want it to affect mine and my daughter's relationship. So I know they have been fighting more and more lately.
Okay, Connie, can you describe their fighting? Just say everything you know about their fighting, what they fight about, how they fight.
Um, It's not physical at all. It's more verbal. But yeah, she gets mad at him. He their house. He's a hoarder. Their house is disastrous. Hoarder. Like, I don't know how much hoarder. Details you want me to give.
Listen, you can give details. So he's a hoarder. H-O-A-R-D-E-R.
He's a tinker with all like computers and electrical. Like, he's very into building bikes, and their whole place is full of shit. So she gets really, really angry. He has massive ADHD. So I think that's where most of the fights come, just because he can't focus.
Well, what I'm saying is I see your daughter getting mad at him. They're having a fight.
Yeah.
And they're eventually going to need counseling. So it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That's going to grow. It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Get to a point where they need counseling. But his fears and insecurities may be that he might adapt and change to keep her. But then I suddenly see some honesty going on.
I'm sorry.
I think ultimately there's going to be trouble before there's any solution. Now, whether they stay together or not will be, it's not a karmic destiny. It's going to be a human decision. I mean, they're creatively going through this motion of their energy. The fact that they've got a baby has kind of locked it in. It's made it very complicated. But your phone call is merited by the fact that there's trouble and there's going to be trouble. I don't think anything counts for anything. The worst will be is they'll split up and, you know, you go on from there and deal with the complications. Did your daughter ever have a knee problem or a knee injury or a leg injury, to your knowledge?
Yeah.
And just describe that.
Both knees? What happened?
She was a gymnast.
Yeah, I thought it was sports. I was saying sports.
Yeah.
Sports injury. Okay.
Okay, so you can see it's, you know, there's enough accuracy going on between the two of us to say, okay, you're on something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for you, Connie, would you like to see them break up?
Yes.
Yes. No, that's not stay together, despite the fact that it may be better for the, you know, preserving the family unit, all this. And your daughter's going to face a lot of difficulties if they break up. I mean, whether it's going to break up or not needs to be seen. I think it would be better if they broke up and she found another partner. Yes. But she's then a single mom, which presents its own set of problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a difficult situation. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you had mentioned the social services and you said child protection. So children's aid is involved in this situation.
Oh, they are involved in the situation. Children's aid is involved in the situation. Well, that makes more sense why I would go over to your boss.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, I mean, I don't want, for the interest of time, what is there been any abuse or?
Drugs.
Drugs on the part of the boyfriend?
That's
are we talking about like, both?
But it was,
oh boy.
It was initially called on him because the baby was in intensive care when it was born, and the nurse noticed signs with him, and he put the baby in danger by falling asleep and falling with the baby. So the baby had to go home with me.
So the baby had drugs in her system. Her, is it a boy?
Yeah.
Her, right? Her system, what is it? Like meth or heroin?
Meth.
I thought it was meth, but when you said he was falling asleep, I thought that could be because he was tired because of meth, but also heroin will make you nod out. You can smoke it, you can shoot it, you can snort it. You can do all kinds of things with meth. Wow, meth, a wonder drug. So that's, and she was on meth during her pregnancy, and the baby was born addicted to it. Ugh. Well, your daughter's
There was no signs of it. There was no signs of it, and he's developing very well. So I know she was really trying not to, so it was limited use with her. But yeah, I had no idea this was going on until Children's Aid called me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when I met,
this is how their relationship, started was because he got her into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have that 0 and 11 between them. So that's, you know, problematic. And she's got, I mean, she's born in 2000. So there's a lot, you know, she's got 3 zeros. I mean, excluding the century, which in a birth date code alludes to a past life where there was a waste of life. Suicide, you know, succumbing to drugs or alcohol, you know, by one's own hand, obviously.
No,
it's just an unfortunate.
All the numbers together equal 20, all your three numbers together equal 26, which is actually your daughter's numbers, 1, 5, which is 6, and then her year is 2. And when I mentioned smoking, my brain was going to drugs as well. So that
mm-hmm.
was just,
that's what I thought. Maybe you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that. So, I mean, you had a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be a psychic blanket where, oh, everything will be fine. No, there is going to be problems.
Trouble.
And
yeah.
Whether they split up or not split up, there's trouble because your daughter is not going to be secure otherwise. In any situation, she's not healthy enough. It's just going to be problems.
Mm-hmm.
You may end up with the baby. There seems to be, I'm seeing some things that are not complex. I don't want to discuss it on the radio.
So then we won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, as far, how far are you away from them physically? Are they still in?
That's why I moved to Victoria. I'm with her. Yeah. She's in Victoria with me. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least you have a little bit more control and the ability to be involved and intervene, but it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And are they still using?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. But he likes to tinker, which
yeah.
is now, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there are people that like to tinker. Yes, of course, it's normal that people like to, you know, play with electronics and fix things. But
mm-hmm.
that drug is going to bring
yes.
that side of your brain out for sure. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd be watchful. I'd be watchful.
Are they together?
Yeah, they live together.
Yeah,
they live together.
Yeah.
They live together, and you're taking care of the baby.
No. The baby's with them, right?
The baby's back with them, yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's going to, you know. Did anyone ever have a bicycle accident or a motorcycle accident in your history?
Not that I know of, no. He may have. I don't know. I don't know that much about, like, you know, his past.
Does he have a motorcycle?
No.
Mm-hmm. Anybody in your past named Michael?
My past name, Michael.
All right.
I don't know. No.
I mean, it can be, you know, it can be a, you know, not significant relationship.
Well, no, because I'm in the future.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know.
You know, it's a difficult situation, Connie. When a psychic
mm-hmm.
sees not good things going on and there's no
mm-hmm.
immediate solution that can be discussed on the radio, it becomes rather difficult. I'm not going to play games with you. I don't see good things. I don't see a fatality, but are they going through any kind of counseling?
she is, him not so much.
Why? Does he resist it?
Yeah.
Well, we can only say on the radio, I don't see good things. You can just wait. You can do a private with us where I can talk to you.
Yeah.
Is there a way to shift things energetically if possible? It's possible. But we've come as far as we can on the air, unless you want to ask.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Did you
It's
just an unfortunate situation with a premature baby.
Yeah, I don't even know what to ask.
Not that the baby was premature, but the fact that she had a baby really not at the time she was ready with a guy that she shouldn't have had the baby with, but, you know, it's karma, so could it have been avoided? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, is she a full-time mom? And what do they do? What do they do for work?
Lyric always works like reception jobs. And I don't know what his law. I think he's mostly been in construction.
Construction. I mean, so there's no education. Not that education matters a lot of times these days when you have to go far. But there's not a lot of a safety net for them if they break up and then she's on her own and she's going to be struggling. You know, she's got your support. I mean, it's just it's not a great not a great situation. But she would be better off.
No, it's not.
But she would be better off without him. For sure. I would say, if the counselor steers her in that direction, can help her make that decision, help her realize that on her own, the counselor's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to stay away from that would be smart too, especially with the child.
You know,
and not having more kids. No more kids together.
Exactly.
You can maybe think about maybe doing a half hour with us. Maybe there's something energy wise, there's more freedom to speak.
Okay.
But if you don't, that's okay too.
We can work.
We'll still work
too.
On the energy. We do that anyways.
Yeah.
But you know, we've said about as much as we can on the topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is
that's
Jennifer
fine.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Is Jennifer there, real quick?
Yeah,
she is. Okay, can I talk to her for
you
one
want
second?
To talk to her?
Just one thing.
Yeah.
Say
thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hi, I feel so wanted.
Well, because I said when you couldn't hear me, I said, I'm so sorry for hearing you incorrectly. And I said, Jennifer's dog likes her, everyone. I don't know how I heard that wrong. I thought you were talking about your dog.
Okay.
I'm going, what the hell is going on here?
No, I was talking about other people's dogs.
Yeah, Jennifer's dog likes her. The dog does not hate her. Her dog and cat
the
are very happy with
me.
Her.
It goes beyond, it's beyond like.
I was like, why does she want to send the dog to her cousin? This is so strange. Anyway, so I heard you wrong, but you know, we have a lot of background activity going on, as we do today too.
That's true.
It's a little zoo in here. Okay, so that's it.
Well, thank you for your service. Okay, have a good day, you guys.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
You know, it's interesting. Child Protective Services. This has been kind of a topic on hand for the last couple of days, because I've been watching the series on Gabriel Fernandez, which you didn't watch. But I was thinking about this last night, and then I was talking to a teacher friend of mine who I told her to watch the series on Netflix about the murder of Gabriel Fernandez. I can't remember the name of the series, but she was explaining to me, she never told me about this, a situation where she had a child who was, she worked at a school that was for troubled youth, or youth have that boys specifically, only boys, that had been abused, or, you know, were in compromised situations in their home. And she had a student who was required to wear a brace because he had some kind of disease. I don't know if it was spinal bifida or what, something wrong with his spine that didn't allow his spine to develop correctly. And so the family would not only not require him to wear the brace, but so that made his spine develop incorrectly. So number one, and he was only about 3 feet tall with an enlarged head. And secondly, he would confide in her about the situation when he would return home on the weekends from the school, and it was an extremely abusive environment, and she had to make this decision called Child Protective Services. And she says, you know, it still haunts me to this day because I know that Child Protective Services doesn't intervene a lot of the time, and essentially the child gets the brunt of, you know, they don't get protected by the agency that's set to protect them, and instead they get more abuse because Child Protective Services was called. But this Gabriel Fernandez is really interesting because he was killed by his parents, by his mother and her boyfriend, and he was born on February 20th, 2005, so he was an 11, just a straight 11, low karmic number because he's born at the turn of the century. You know, I was thinking about him, and of course, I mean, this is like a 6-part series. It's really very sad, intense, and you know, it delves into all the missteps by the people that were around him, the teachers, the police that got called to the house, the social workers that were assigned to him and didn't do jack to protect him. And really, I don't know what they were doing, writing their reports saying that he was well cared for when he was burned and beaten. I mean, just horrible, horrible abuse on this kid. And no one did anything. And the kid ended up dying. But then, you know, you wonder, I was thinking about him and the fact that he's become somewhat of a martyr, you know. And he had such a negative karmic and master number, yet, I mean, someone like this comes down to raise awareness. I mean, is it possible that he could have transcended after this terrible lifetime?
Well,
you know,
I'm not familiar with the case because it was in the paper.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of it through the paper and the news.
Yeah.
I didn't see the documentary for something else. But
no, I did too. But I mean, I was interested in it because of what I already knew. I wanted to hear more about the story.
Yeah, of the firm belief that karma takes no prisoner. Karma is very brutal. Karma is karma.
Okay, wait, karma takes no prisoners, or karma takes all prisoners?
Well, it doesn't take prisoners. It just
it imprisons you.
You know, in wartime, people would raise their hand and surrender, and they'd still be shot. You don't take no prisoners, meaning you just kill them.
Got it.
So karma has a cold front to it. And if a human being is coming back to serve karma, the victimization may be horrific. The sense of assault and brutality on an innocent being may be unimaginable. But karma doesn't go into that lake. It has nothing to do with evaluating pity or compassion. Karma just serves the sentence. That's it. It's coldly passed on. So people who come down with a brutal karma from past lives re-entry the earth and serve their karma. And there's nothing human can do about it. Now, of course, you know, you have compassionate people and people who care and people who would defy karma and do whatever they can, that's fine. But even social services being inadequate and malfunctioning is a result of the karma, where the explanations can be maybe arranged in somewhat proper order on a table as to who wasn't responsible, who was, what went wrong, why did it go on. But the table is karma. Doesn't matter what you arrange on it. And unfortunately, this happens. We can't change the fact that innocent people individually, in a group, no matter what it is, genocide, there's a karmic element that we need to recognize on this planet that has more serious intention than we just pity and move forward. Of course, compassion is an absolute necessity, and intervention is an absolute necessity. But when you have an individual like him who suffered and then ultimately died at the hands of this murderer,
two individuals,
karma doesn't excuse it, but karma explains it. It doesn't excuse it. And, you know, psychologists and sociologists will analyze, you know, the murderer's background and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
and go through all of everything and
this,
how they've been abused.
This series did, yes.
Yeah, it's going to do that. But you know, there's more
depth
to the ocean where there isn't any light than there is where there is light, because the depths of the ocean goes beyond light. And the darkness of a soul goes beyond the portion of what one's upbringing is.
Right. And of course, by all accounts, he was this really gentle, sweet boy. And
yes,
actually, you know, only was in the care of his mother for 8 months. He was 8 years old when he died, too. At 8 months. And the reason that she didn't want him when she gave birth to him, she gave him to a relative. So he was passed along amongst relatives. And I think he was pretty well cared for, actually, until the point where she and her boyfriend got him. And it was because she wanted his welfare benefits. That's why they took custody of him. And he was the scapegoat. She did have other children. And I think she was abusive toward the other children, too, but not to the extent of the abuse that she meted out on him. I mean, he was the scapegoat for sure.
The devil's triangle. I mean, you're locked in a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. Now, the question is, in terms of a human evaluation, does he transcend now? There's no degree of accuracy. He could come back to the planet and gracefully accomplish something on a humanitarian level. He could be one of those rare souls that everyone just believes is incredibly humanitarian. He could do something along that line and now defend people who are abused. Or he could have succumbed to his mission on the planet and was gracefully received into the folds of an angel and moves into a higher plane. It's hard to say now in a situation like this where the soul is going and if it's completed its obligations to the planet. Some souls elect to come back. They want to come back, and they're given a sort of permission to come back for a cause. But, you know, it doesn't, we don't know. We don't know where his soul's going.
We don't know.
But,
no, we
but
don't.
In any account, wherever his soul's going, it's going to be better than where he's been. And there's going to be some elevation of having served a certain karma. Now, he served karma, but not electively. I mean, he wasn't old enough to serve out his karma through civil work. He just suffered through karma. And that's what he suffered through. And you have to keep your brain in an area where you think, well, he was a little boy, but he was really an old soul, and he had done wrong. And it doesn't excuse anything.
No.
It's just an explanation, but it doesn't excuse anything. It's not a sacrifice that, you know, you're going to kill a child to appease the gods. It's just the raw edge of what our planet contains in terms of the tragedies that we experience.
Well, and the reason that I'm aware of the fact that someone who is abused, a child who's abused, is essentially paying off karma because of past lives. However, there are so many children that die in obscurity and no one knows. I mean, and they're terribly abused. But this case got so much attention, and it's partially because of the fact that they sought the death penalty, which rarely happens in the state of California. And the press was so involved, and, you know, it not only brought up the idea of, you know, the Los Angeles Times covered this case, and you know, print media is fading now, and everybody's going to digital, and so things have changed in that regard. So the documentary also covered that somewhat. But the fact that he received so much attention and in his death, after his death, and has been, you know, almost as like a martyred saint in a way. I mean, he's not a saint, but that's kind of how he's regarded in this documentary and by those who knew him. And
he was a graceful, he wasn't a saint. He was a graceful
a saint has to be
graceful little boy
designated by the
Catholic victim.
A saint, you have to go through a whole process to be a saint. You obviously he's not
but
a saint.
But he wasn't a saint. But I mean, he stood for being for better terms, an innocent victim. And that's tragic.
But I know, you can say innocent is, I mean, you're innocent, he's innocent in this lifetime, but no, probably
lifetime. That's what he stands for on the earthly level,
right,
as being a victim. And the situation is, it's not going to change anything. We honor tragedy, we respect it, we uphold it in terms of recognizing it, mourning, and then we go on with our lives.
Well, yeah, and
we do a documentary.
Not only that, but I mean, even his death, which the social workers that were interviewed, or the people, you know, police and district attorney, that was really, I mean, he did an excellent job of prosecuting this case. He, you know, they thought change was going to occur, and they brought up two more deaths that happened in the same area of children that were abused, and these cases aren't, and I knew about them because, you know, we're in this area and they were in the paper, but they didn't receive the kind of attention that this case did. But, you know, the irony of the fact that, you know, well, you know, we're going to change, things are going to change now that this has happened.
Yeah,
we're going to have more, you know, CPS is going to do their jobs.
The page will
well,
be turned,
no,
and
that's not what happened.
Will eventually be buried in the memory. And unless you flip back to that page and see it again, the pages will keep folding over and we'll move on, and there'll be other children who are victims and other innocent human beings across the planet that will be victims. And it's going to be that way.
This is a lovely way to end the show,
it's
Easter weekend.
It's okay to be inspirational and optimistic and uphold the standards of decent human conduct. I mean, we have to stay in that lane. But death and destruction and violence is not going to disappear.
Well, neither is inaction by the institutions that are in place to protect children and those that are, you know, at risk. So
in essence, life will be a constant struggle between protection and destruction. It's, you know, and sometimes the terminology gets confusing, because what you think you're destroying, you're actually protecting. What you think you're protecting, you're actually destroying.
Yeah.
So it becomes very convoluted.
That's right. It is very convoluted, and we're going to close a little early today because we are out of... Uh-oh. Huh. Well, I don't know if we're even being heard, because Jennifer just came into the chat and says, I wonder why I can't hear anything. I don't understand. Okay, so we'll have to check to see if this is even heard. Great. Happy Easter, everyone. Have a great weekend. For those that celebrate, bye-bye. For those that don't celebrate, have a good weekend too, but obviously you won't be celebrating Easter. Bye-bye. Ooh.